Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Oh, God.
Just kidding. I'm in a dry spell.
You're in a dry... You are?
Yeah.
It's been like 4 minutes.
It's been 5 weeks.
5 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Tough.
I know. I'm living alone finally. I'm supposed to be like living my life. I live alone. I'm in a new city.
But you don't want to... Do you not want men in your house?
The boys would come. Oh, I don't want men in my house. I never bring them back to my place. I don't know why I live alone. Are we good? Like, are we rolling? Is this good?
Bad vibes with Talia and Alexis.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Welcome back. I'm Alexis Barber.
I'm Talia. This is Bad Vibes.
And the vibes are feeling a little low today.
I'm not in the best mood.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm never in a great mood.
No, you're not.
But I'm not great today.
I'm not great today, but let's talk about why you're not great
today. No, but you have no excuse to not be great.
I am. No, the only reason I'm not great is because, so I just got back from a fabulous, stunning, iconic vacation with my boyfriend, 5 days in the Dominican Republic.
It looked amazing.
It was amazing. I barely consumed any content. It was wonderful. Like, I just relaxed. But the thing is, now I have to fly to LA for work. 6-hour fucking flight. That flight is brutal. And then go to an event and then work out of the LA office like next week. And then I'm going to stay there over the weekend. And my week is just like really filling up. Like I have a lot of friends in LA and a lot of influencer friends that I want to see. And last time I was there when I met you, none of them were there. Like they all happened to be gone. So that's why we met, which was so fun. Love to see it. You know, look where we are now. But this time, it's just like my week looks like there's not going to be a second to breathe.
Right.
So I'm really stressed out. And then I couldn't get my nails done and I couldn't get my lashes done. Oh. And so I was just having a
little
breakdown.
You're going to look like shit in LA.
I'm
going
to look horrible in LA.
Everyone's going to be like, they're going to be able to tell that you're from out of town.
Shut the fuck up. No, I'm dude. But I'm really tan from the DR.
No, you look great.
Oh, thank you. I got Jeff to tan too. That man was looking pasty. It was not giving.
And I remember we left off with you guys having a bit of a debacle on Valentine's Day.
So Talia and I went to this party right after we recorded last week on Valentine's Day.
It was a cool people party.
It was a cool people party.
You weren't there.
You weren't there. If you were there, let's talk about it. But anyway, we went to this party and right before, like, we're supposed to have dinner with Jeff for Valentine's Day. But we were going on like a 5-day trip, so I like really wasn't expecting anything.
Yeah, why do you need to have a whole dinner?
Exactly, we didn't need to do anything. But because like in the past on Valentine's Days, like sometimes he didn't meet my expectations, he was super nervous about doing that, so he was trying to like decorate my apartment. Like he bought like tons of candles and twinkly lights and all this stuff to like make my apartment so romantic. But I got home early from the recording, so he couldn't finish it. So he got really sad that he couldn't like have his little moment. Aww. Because he was like, I was gonna meet these expectations. But I was like, I didn't have any expectations because we're going on a 5-day vacation tomorrow. Like we don't need
Why
to.
Would you? You were getting up at like 6 a.m. for
exactly.
this flight.
But that's the type, he's a romantic guy. Like he likes to do that stuff. So the fact that he
five
couldn't
days
do
in
it,
the Dominican Republic is not romantic
it,
enough.
It is, but he was worried about the actual day. Because once in college, there was an issue where he didn't do something on the actual day because we were doing something on the other day, and I probably like freaked out at him. I probably blocked that out, but I probably freaked out at him. So he's probably like traumatized and really trying. So I left him at my apartment to go to this cool people party. And it's okay because we just didn't discuss it and had the great, the greatest week.
Sometimes it's not worth a fight. Sometimes it's not. You just leave it.
Exactly. So we left it and had the best time. Like, I'm honestly shocked. Like, he's being really nice to me. Like,
wow, he's being really nice to me.
Like, he slept over last night after we spent the whole week together because I have to go to LA, and he's like, he's like, I miss you already. Like, I'm like really like feeling the love.
That is cute. See, I'm so fucked up. My first thought is like, what did he do? Who did he sleep with?
Yeah, honestly, one day the other. I always am afraid that like my relationship is too good to be true, and that something.
Well, what
bad
a great problem to have.
Yes, true.
What a nice,
you know, I'm
problem.
Living the dream.
Fuck
living
you.
The dream. Anyway, why are you in a bad mood?
Oh my God. Well, I had a similar type of packed week this past week. Mm-hmm. People underestimate how much social obligations can actually become part of your schedule and stress you out just as much as the work stuff that you have to do.
Exactly.
When you're describing, like, people ask why this week is so bad for me, and it's like, I'm not even naming that much work stuff, but that paired with all the other shit and people that I need to see, people who were in town this week. I had a family friend's kid who I like made an obligation. I made a commitment to see him, and like there were just so many things. I felt like every single second of every day this week was booked, mm-hmm. and it didn't help that a lot of stuff, like shit hit the fan with work stuff, brand deal thing. Ugh, they're a great company, but like working with them, there was a lot of miscommunication and a lot of like cramped due dates and whatever. And I had to reshoot this photo a bunch of times because it wasn't the way they want. It really took up so much more of my time than it should have. So all this stuff's happening. So I had a very, very long day, and Friday was just terrible. Okay. And I felt my whole weekend, I was like working on this shit. I had to film this day in the life video for somebody else, which was fun to do. But like at the same time, every second of my day, it was like this thing in the back of my mind. I have to be filming this. Mm-hmm. I'm working. It's just, that sums up my life right now.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It never shuts off.
In New York especially, it's like everything can be content, and so many people are here, so you get all these obligations. And I had to film all three of my sponsored deals for this week this morning because like I'm leaving tomorrow. So I feel you. It's like you like today's a day off from work, and still we're working every second of every day.
And people forget that. Yeah, of course. I don't like to compare my job to a traditional corporate job. It cannot be compared, and the issues, you get a taste of both, but like the issues that these people face are completely different. But they underestimate, it's hard to complain to these people because then they're like, but you don't get up at 8 a.m. and finish at 10 p.m. Yeah, but I also work around the clock. It never shuts off. I'm thinking of taking a day off of my phone like once a week. I set aside a day, but then I miss a lot of important things. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm tied to it. So I had this terrible, terrible day where my whole day was taken up with filming this content and refilming it and being on the phone with people and just like figuring it out. And I was just, it felt by the end of the day, like I was on like an Adderall come down. You know what I mean? Like that weird, you're like a shaking shell of a person. Exactly. Like the light inside me was gone. And I get back to my apartment. I can't even talk about it without crying. I opened up my mailbox and guess what's there?
I can't.
It was my bill from Con Edison.
No.
We've spoken about this, about how miraculously somehow I have not been paying utilities and nobody shut off anything. Oh. And I was told by some not trustworthy source that I didn't have to be paying them separately because they were already getting taken out of my rent, whatever. I should have checked, but I was kind of just living with like somebody's paying it and it ain't me. So I'm not going to fix something that isn't broken. I'm not going to call anybody. But I get this bill. Guess how much the bill was for? The number is burned into my brain.
What?
$1,821.76. Okay?
Don't you live in like a 200 square foot box?
I live in a box. And I, as you said before, I'm brushing my teeth once a fucking day. There's no way I'm using this much energy and water, whatever the fuck they cover. Okay? There's no way. So and it says it's due in 5 days or else they're shutting off everything. My initial thought was like, this has to be a scam. Oh, so I walk down the hallway and knock on the door of one of my neighbors, not the one that's troubled, the other one. And I ask, is this what your bill looks like? She's like, no, she showed me her. She was like, that number is ridiculous, but this is a legit bill from them. Like, this is real. I call the number, not the one on the left. I don't want you guys getting in my DMs and being like, you got scammed. No, I called the right number. Okay, I went online, I got the right number. I'm on the hold. I'm on phone.
Guys. She needs help.
You're on hold. I'm on the phone with them for 3 hours, 17 minutes. I looked. 2 hours and 50 minutes of those, that was on hold. So I finally get off hold with somebody and they're walking me through it. It turns out that I guess the girl before me was not paying utilities. That's not my responsibility. It's the building management's bill to cover. But I was freaked out. It just jolted me. Okay. Of course. So I was already so vulnerable and not myself. And then I get this bill. So I couldn't do anything. I didn't end up going to my friend's party that night because I'm sitting on the phone with them. And I think it got cleared up. I'm not getting charged that much is all I know. And I made a new account. So guys, I have a Con Edison account.
She's in New York.
I'm a utilities payer.
Oh my God, she's doing it.
I'm doing it, but it gets worse. So then after I'm defeated after being on the phone with these people, I go to West Side Market. I got myself a rotisserie chicken. I come back. I'm just sitting in my bed.
Why do white people love rotisserie chicken?
I love a rotisserie
so
chicken. I just needed something like protein. Like I needed to refuel. It's 2 a.m. And I'm eating my rotisserie chicken in my bed and I decide to check Instagram before I go to sleep.
Never a good idea.
Can you guess what I saw? There's this guy.
And do I know him?
You know of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I open up his story and there's a lady.
Is it him?
I don't know which one you're talking about. You're right. There's a couple in my life. It's not a huge, like this isn't a guy that I'm like, committed to in any way. Like we are not, he's allowed to see other people. We've never been like that. I'm allowed. I post about guys on my TikTok all day long doing walks of shame from their place. He has every right to post a girl. He has every right to get in a relationship. It just was a jolt to see somebody that you care about dancing with this girl. And he's like got his head on her shoulder and they look so in love. And I'm like, who the fuck is this? How haven't I heard about this girl? I was just like, it was like a jump scare. Like I opened it and was like, holy shit, wait, what? Like
your cortisol was really doing too much.
Oh my God, I was shaking. And I was like, oh, it's fine. I gave it an hour and I was like, wait, why am I freaking out? It's totally fine. I was just in a vulnerable spot and was like, I didn't need to see a guy that I've hooked up with and had feelings for with this girl. So it gets worse. Naturally, I click on her. I'm like, okay, who is this girl? Let's figure it out. I wanted to look and see what her deal was. She's cute, adorable. I'm scrolling through. And I liked something.
No, you didn't.
I did. And I saw that like they were online.
No.
And probably like what? Sitting in his bed together, like scrolling Instagram probably. And she gets a notification from me. I unlike it immediately and I block her.
No, you didn't. There has to be a better way, but I don't know what it is.
I just was like, what? Like, it was just the worst day ever. So now I wake up the next morning. I'm like, whatever, it's fine. Right. And then I like go to some other guy's birthday party and hook up with him. Like, I was like totally chill. Stop. But it's just like, you just don't want to see those things. It could be somebody I hooked up with 3 years ago. If I had feelings for them at any point, doesn't matter if I'm over those feelings. I just, when I'm in a vulnerable position, I don't want to see a person that I care about with his head on her shoulder doing a little dance, okay? It just didn't feel good. It really hurt for a second.
Yeah.
So it was a jump scare. And that was my night.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's get into our vibe check for the week because this is the Bad Vibes podcast. Doesn't mean that we have bad vibes about our things that we vibe check, but we'll see today. Yeah, we'll see. Today's vibe check is, Alexis, what do you think about parasocial relationships and the people who follow you?
Oh, it's a good question. So parasocial relationships is like this weird relationship where you feel like you have a relationship with a person you follow, but they might not have a relationship with you. So I guess, what's an example? Like, I have a parasocial relationship with Beyonce because I think I know. Well, no, Beyonce's not a good example. She doesn't share her life.
I feel like you wouldn't be the type who would have one with anybody, really.
No, I don't have a fan. But like, I'm giving it, like, I'm trying to relate it to people.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. A lot of
my favorite influencer, Marianna Hewitt. She's an amazing business owner, like, stunning, like, person. She's so cool, but she doesn't share enough of her life for it to be a parasocial relationship. But for example, your favorite influencer, you feel like you know them, but they don't know who you are.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like a lot of people, especially since we live in New York, feel like they know us or could hang out with us, but we don't know them, or like have not necessarily don't have interests, but like don't have, you know, the same, we wouldn't have met if we weren't on social media.
And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, oh, I follow this influencer and I feel like we know each other. I feel like we would get along so well. Mm-hmm. Even sending a DM like, oh, I just feel like we'd be best friends. And so I love your content. Yeah, nothing so wrong normal. With that. But people tend to think that they know everything about you. And I feel like something that really bugs me is when people approach like DMs or coming up to me or whatever with like, oh my God, you have no idea like how well we'd get along. You don't even understand. Like, I know you don't know me, but trust me. Mm-hmm. Trust me, we need to get drinks.
The fact is, I would never say that to someone.
I would never say that to anybody. No. I really wouldn't. I there are people I'm huge fans of, and I really feel like we'd get along. I would never, ever inconvenience them and make them uncomfortable with saying, like, give me your number. We have to hang out. But I just don't, like, there's no, just because you know me and you like me, I'm sure, yeah, there are a lot of things that we have in common, but you don't know everything about me. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to like you. And I just wish that there could be, like, fans and followers and not friendships. Like, we don't have to know each other. And I don't know why everyone who wants to give me a really lovely message also adds in, what's your number? Let's get drinks. And it's like, it's not because, it's because I'm not a real celebrity. I'm an influencer.
I do think, and I think that TikTok sort of added to it, you know? Right. Like, I think it used to be like, there's a celebrity out there and you could never be friends with that celebrity. Like, you would send them what did they do? Like, fan mail back in the day? But the thing is, like, now that there's a rise of TikTokers and there's a lot more people with, like, a social following out there, that's why people feel like it's more possible for them to just, like, reach out to people. But I mean, there's also this added element of, like, as someone who does have, like, followers or, like, in theory, social clout, that feels uncomfortable to me to have people reach out to me, because if you didn't really know me before this and you have this preconceived notion of the 2% of my life that I actually put online.
It really is 2%.
It literally is 2%. There's no way it could be more. Like, if you really feel that way about me, like, I feel like you're always asking, they're always, it could be that they're asking for something or like using you. And 90% of my DMs are asking for something, whether it's where my plain black t-shirt is from, or like, can you help me get a job at your company? Like,
from both strangers and people that you knew
exactly. It's like, I just feel like I'm being taken from like 24/7 and I'm giving 24/7. But like, the amount of DMs that are just like, let's hang out, that's just kind of concerning too. Right. Should we talk about our party we went to? We skipped right over that.
Oh my God. We went to an influencer party.
Influencer party.
It was kind of fun.
It was kind of fun. They had good music.
We walked in so judgmental too.
We sure did.
We were also walking in there taking notes. Okay. Yeah. Anytime we go to these things, we're thinking like, who are we going to talk about on the podcast? Mm-hmm. You can't trust us.
You really can't. You met us, but you don't know who you can trust. Right. But basically, this part, if you don't know, these parties are called like I Like You.
I Like You.
They're hosted by this 40-year-old Australian DJ.
Is he 40?
He's giving 40 vibes. Like, no. I think he's 40.
Well, he does look on the older side in comparison to everyone he hangs out with and in this world and works with. But he's a nice guy. I've never heard anything really nice or not nice about him. And then he followed me after. I felt pretty good about that.
That's nice. He's sweet.
Very nice guy. But I'm just confused about, like, who is he? Where did he come
from? Where did he come from? Why is he hosting parties?
He's a DJ.
But, like, he wasn't DJ. Did he DJ?
He DJed for a sec, yeah.
Well, towards the end. Then what? I don't know. I want to know. I mean, it's a good brand.
Yeah, no, totally. I guess this guy, I would like to learn more about it. He throws parties. He makes merch. He makes little content videos.
It's cool. It's fun. It's just like a little sceney.
It's quite sceney, yeah. I would say. I mean, the party was, I was invited to the party by an influencer agency. So it wasn't like, we just decided to go to it. Like, so it seems like it's like a corporation, basically, what they're right. doing there. Because how would they know these agencies? And then they had like a documentary crew there.
Yeah, they were filming some movie.
Exactly.
It was just weird to party. I felt like I was partying in a fishbowl. Everyone, there were a bunch of cameras outside the people dancing, and there was flash on, like just taking videos and pictures of us. Like it felt very, everyone is here to be seen.
Yeah.
You know, it was strange, but also I'm not going to lie. Like it feels kind of cool. Like you're like, wow, I must have mattered.
It's cool to be invited. It's cool to, and we had people who like are, I don't want to say followers. I always feel weird to say followers or people who follow us that right. we are like, that listen to the podcast. We're there and we got to meet people and hang out with people. And that's always like, I've never realized that I'm like a real person until like those things happen.
Do you like when people come up to you?
I met an influencer when I was like starting out on TikTok. I had like 30K and I met her and she had like 300 at the time. And she was really awkward with me to really? Where like her friends were more normal. But like, and so like, it's one of those things where, you know, when you like really embarrassed about something and your like body like spasms every time you think about it, like it's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I always get really nervous that when people come up to me that they feel the same way. So I don't ever know how to act. I get like,
that's
really
so nice of you to think about that.
I just don't want them to be like, she was weird, because I had that experience where I met someone and she was weird.
Oh, so. I thought that you're worried that they'll feel like you or they were weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
You're want, worried they think
yeah,
you're
I
weird.
Yeah. I'm worried both times. So okay. I want them to feel super comfortable, but then it gets to a place where like when I was in LA with Jazzy and we were out, I got recognized and these girls like wanted to like party with us the whole night, you know? And that's kind of weird where, and I think it's like when people who follow me reach out to like want to hang out, like, of course I want to like make friends with people, cause like you're probably interested in the same things as me, like 100% whatever.
Right.
But it also can be weird cause it's like a parasocial relationship. Like, you know, everything exactly. about me. I know nothing about you. First of all, second of all, most of my content is around the fact that I'm too busy to breathe. So like it feels right. kind of insulting for you to be like, let's get drinks, when like, you know, that I like have 500 full-time jobs, like, right. you know? So I mean, in theory I would like to, but like you said before, I don't even think that I could be a full-time influencer and not be as busy as I am now. Like,
it's just busy in different ways. Busy, and it's consuming yeah. emotionally in different ways.
Exactly.
I don't like when people come up to me. I thought that I would, and I always, when I was like little, I used to totally pretend I was famous. Like, I used to walk in places and be like, oh, what if everybody in here recognized me? I was so weird, but I loved the idea of like being a public figure. And now if people come up to me, it just makes me extremely suddenly aware of the fact that people recognize me. And in order to like make these videos that I do and walk around in the streets talking to myself and looking like a crazy person, I have to kind of convince myself that nobody around me recognizes me. And when they do, it breaks my little bubble of fake reality. And it, of course, like, I'm grateful to every person who's ever come up to me. Like, I'll always be nice, always. But if that happens 5 times in a day, I've had weird conversations with people where I've had to be so on and so nice and so friendly, even if I don't really like them. Multiple times in a row, even if I'm not in the mood. And the issue is that what you said about parasocial relationships, they know, you said they know so much about your life. These people think they know about my life.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, that's exactly what it is. Cause like I don't post my sad days. I don't post how stressed I am about work. I don't post about my fucking crazy family life. Like, people like see me as this very perfect put together person a lot.
I did when I first met you.
Exactly. And I just, that's just really not who I am. I'm much different, like, when we actually talk. So I feel like it's very frustrating to have people like have an idea of you. And then what if you don't meet that expectation? And then what's the point of even trying to meet that expectation to someone who comes up to you? Like, I don't want to say I don't like it, but I will say it does make me uncomfortable.
I just think that people think they know me because I make it so, it is authentic. Everything I say on there is authentic, but it's just a part of my life. It's a fraction of my life. And I don't share everything. And I think that people, when they come up, it's so hard when they say, give me your number, let's get drinks. I'm like,
What?
I don't know why you would say that, because it puts me in an awkward position of having
then
to
then they
like,
feel like they have access
they
to
they feel
you.
Like we're friends. Yeah. And that's the point, is that my page, whatever I do, I want them to feel like we're friends. It's supposed to feel like we're kind of FaceTiming. Mm-hmm. But the issue is they really believe that. And like people DM me and say, you know, can we be friends? And I want to thank them for the things that the nice things that they say so mm-hmm. badly. I feel bad just leaving these messages yeah. there and not thanking the people who are like making this possible for me. But at the same time, if I respond to them, then it's like they keep going yeah. and I can't have any privacy. I've had literally. People tell me, I know where you live. Mm-hmm. Like I can see, I figured out where you live. You definitely live on this street. I always see you walking around there. And it's like, yeah, that's on me. Like I shouldn't be so obvious about maybe the neighborhood that I live in the background of where I'm mm-hmm. making my videos. But like, don't tell me that. Okay. Just like, don't keep
and
that to yourself.
Exactly. Like I get like just panicky anytime I just open DMs. Like we were talking to Sammy about this too, where it's like, DMs for me, I feel like everyone who's DMing you thinks they're the only person DMing you.
Yes.
But in reality, like I have hundreds every single day that I'm looking at and I'm like, I want to answer all of your questions. But like, for example, I posted yesterday that like the resort we went to is giving it a rating and I accidentally put 1 out of 10 instead of 10 out of 10. 50 people DM me being like, you had a typo or whatever. And like, that's going to be overwhelming, like no matter what. And like, that's a small thing. Like
right.
you could get 50 people DMing you about how you're a shitty person or 50 people DMing you asking you to hang out. Like for every one person that asks me to hang out, there's 50 other people doing it.
Yep.
So it can be just simply overwhelming. Like today, I like don't even want to look at my DMs after I posted things because it's just, it's draining. So we're drained.
Yeah.
We're
drained.
That's the
we had a little therapy sesh and we're drained yeah, and just
therapy sesh.
Just remember
we're
that.
Still very grateful for everything, but we're allowed to have feelings about
I
it
love
too.
Every single person who's invested a minute of their time into my life. I just can't express that individually usually.
You can't express that
and
to a million
please,
people.
If especially if I'm on the fucking phone walking around in New York, don't say hi.
I had a girl come up to me while I was doing a bench press. Man.
Dude.
Do you want me to drop this weight on my face? Because that's what's about
what
to happen.
What is with you, Pete? Come on. Like somebody came up to me on the street the other day and I was delighted to like that somebody wanted to stop. So of course I stop and she's walking up to me and the first thing out of her mouth is not, oh, I love your content or, oh, I think you're so funny. No, no, no. She goes, I'm starting a management agency and oh my God, like it would be amazing if you would like endorse it or maybe I could sign you. And I was like, that's what you're fucking starting with?
Yeah.
Like it felt so like dehumanizing and it was the first time that had happened where it was so blatant. And it's like, I'm not going to fault this girl. Like she clearly doesn't know. If she wants to run an influencer agency and work with people who have followings, you got to be a little bit better at this kind of stuff. Work on your subtleties. But seriously, like, I don't know. The people from my pad, like the guy that I talked about who DM'd me a couple weeks ago, people who were never kind to me before, people who never gave me the time of day, who now think that I can offer them something. I have nothing to give. I have no power in this.
Exactly.
And
that's
I feel
think you do when you have the numbers.
Yeah. People like, I don't know. I feel like people that I hang out with like take more photos of me now. Like it just feels weird. I don't. Pics.
And I feel that like I never want to take a picture with my friend when I'm out with my friends.
Yeah.
Like my real friends. I don't take pictures because I'm too busy in the conversation. But then it's like you'll start to realize there are those friends who want to tag you and things. Like when we launched the podcast, for example, there were a lot of quote friends posting it on their stories being like OMG. But while I was going through the 6-month stressful process of launching this podcast, did not even like support me once in those situations.
Nothing.
They said nothing like while I was like literally like so stressed out.
But it makes the friends who really are great
shine.
Oh my God. I have the best. I'm gonna get emotional, but I really do. We'll end this vibe check on that note. I really have the best friends. Like I the people who've known me my whole life, people from middle school and high school, elementary school, my core group of LA girlfriends, like the patience they have for me and the support and like unconditional, they never guilt me about, you know, if I don't have time to respond to their texts, like it gets really hard to keep up with people. I prefer to do like every 2 weeks, we do a nice big phone call or a big text message situation, but I can't text every day. I have a hard time getting back to them in a timely manner. And that's not fair of me, but I'm trying to figure out how to balance it. And in this time, never have I received, oh, nice of you to respond. Never are they passive aggressive.
Right.
I can't believe how good they are. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
So we got a lot of voicemails this week, which is amazing. And we can't, unfortunately, answer all of them in every podcast, but sometimes we'll come back to them and we will get to as many as we can. So keep sending them. And we're sorry if we didn't get to them this week, but we got a couple.
Yes. And so don't forget to call in. The number is 212-287-5244 if you have a question or want us to talk shit about something. But today, let's get started with this week's voicemails. And the first one is from someone who called multiple times.
Yeah, and I just learned, apparently I met this girl over the weekend.
Oh, and parasocial.
Our producer just informed me that this
is the girl. Okay,
somebody came up to me and said I left a voicemail. So oh my God. Let's see.
Hi, Ty and Alexis. This is probably my third voicemail this week. I don't think I've said my name any of the times. By the way, my name is Reed. So not that you would know. The reason I'm actually calling this time, I wasn't even planning on calling again, but it's because I just met Talia at a bar in the East Village, at Ace Bar. And I approached her while she was probably an inch away from kissing a guy. So that was, you know, sorry to cockblock. I was going to say that to you there, but it was right in front of him while he was just observing our conversation awkwardly. So, you know, I didn't want to cockblock more than I already have. Anyways, this is my apology now for doing that. I am sorry. Anyways, to my point, I really don't have a point. I kind of just wanted to call and tell you about the experience and apologize. But I told you that I was there with a guy who went to Berkeley. Because he looks, he goes, I think I went to college with that girl. And I was like, oh my God, I love her. And yeah, you did, because she went to Berkeley and so did you. Anyways, the date was fine. He's like 24 though, and I'm literally 19. I was like mad about the place he picked though. He was like, come to Ace Bar at 7 PM. And I looked it up and I was like, ew, this is like a gross fucking dive bar. Like, why are we going here? Like, why aren't you taking me to somewhere nice? I didn't say that to him obviously because I'm really nice and a huge people pleaser. And then I got there and it was really fun. So don't judge a book by its cover. And then I met Talia. So he actually did me a massive favor, even if I never see him again, which I probably won't because I'm not going to text him.
Thank you, Reed, for the explanation. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Did she cock block you?
No, that guy was weird. Okay, he just bought me a beer and I was really bored at that bar. Mm. He was really cute. He couldn't make conversation, but I was just sort of we were chatting. I can understand how she thought that it was like that. But yeah, she did. She came up to me and she was adorable. She was so nice. You did not look 19. How are you
19?
In there? 19. So what are you, freshman college?
Oh, yeah.
She must go to NYU or something. And she was with a guy who I got a glimpse of. And she said, that guy went to your school. So he pointed you out to me and I recognized you. I didn't recognize this guy at all. But now we know he's 24. She's 19. But she was very nice. Thanks for saying hi. Do we have another? I would like to hear what she initially called about. But thanks for the apology. But no, you didn't do anything wrong. You did not call Puck. Don't worry.
Hey, Talia and Alexis, big fan. I had some questions about your opinions on age gaps in dating. I am 19 and I have always been pretty vehemently against dating a guy more than 2 years old, 2 or 3 years older than me. Especially a guy that's already out of college because I just feel like we're at very different places in our life. But I met a guy this weekend and he is graduated. He's not crazy old, he's in his mid-20s, but yeah, just wondering your take. I wanted to know your opinion because I'm having horrible demons inside of me trying to figure out my take. As I've said for so many years, I would never do that. And now I'm being tested. Anyways, huge fan. Kisses. Love. Bye-bye.
Kisses. Love. Oh, I love her.
Hi, Reed. This is why you shouldn't put that kind of parameter on yourself. Those numbers are 2 or 3 years or something because then you'll be questioning it and you'll have the double issue of having to decide if it's the right guy and fighting with yourself about something.
Yeah, I feel like she's being really hard on herself. Yeah,
really hard. But at the same time, when you're 19, you should be very, very careful about who you date, period, yeah. Because you're a child.
You know how I feel about age gaps in dating. I almost exclusively date a little too old for me. Mm-hmm. And that's like something that I wouldn't say it's something I'm trying to work on. I want to be open. I'm trying not to put these restrictions on myself the way that Reed is, because that is how exactly you end up with two issues. But I think that having done a little age gaps in college when I was 19 and then having age gaps now that I'm 23, now that I'm out of college, I feel like an adult. I used to feel like an adult. Mm-hmm. Now looking back on who I was, like, you're going to have hindsight and it's going to be really uncomfortable. Looking back, no, I should not have been doing that. But now that I'm 23, I've been seeing guys like the guy that I mentioned earlier who posted his little stupid girly, little girly story. He's much older than me. Mm-hmm. And I never feel like he might feel like I'm kind of younger, but I pay bills now. Like, I don't know. I feel like an adult. We have a lot more to talk about, but
you do pay bills, but just now.
Just now, just starting this week. Okay, I paid him before too for other things. But no, I just feel like I'm an adult now and I feel like a little bit nervous thinking about, it wasn't the fact that I was dating older guys in college when I was still in my teens. That was weird necessarily. I don't think the age gap 19 to 24 is that weird.
Yeah.
It's just that things that you do with him, you might end up regretting, and you have to be really careful that he's not taking advantage of your youth and naivete. Like, mm-hmm. you don't realize it, but you are naive and you might sign up to, like, oh, you want to, I don't know.
There's like, you could be going to a more serious place as someone who's older, because, so you have to look at patterns. If someone is exclusively dating people who are under 20 years old,
yes,
that is where you should see an issue. If you all met and hit it off and it's a great situation and his past relationships or hookups have usually been like an age range or around his age, that would make more sense. But I think you should definitely be wary as a someone who's under 21, period, because that is a really young age and it's very
easy. You can't even drink yet. You can't even drink yet.
Like, it's very easy to be taken advantage of at that time, whether or not.
And you don't realize it because you think you're older than you are. Mm-hmm. Like, 19, you feel like an adult, and in many ways you are. Your brain is almost fully formed, whatever, but you're going to look back and be like, I was so stupid. And there's things, I'm not saying that dating the guy can be bad. It can be really beneficial to date an older guy, because guys your age suck. Guys our age suck.
Literally.
I really get a lot from dating guys who are older than me. Like, I feel like they benefit my life in so many ways, and they've given me, I've learned so much, like, just about life and career stuff and whatever. It's just fun to hang out with them. But one day you're going to be like, he wants to, like, I don't know, take a sexy video of me or something. Or like
you just have to be careful.
Then you're going to look back and be like, he took advantage of the fact that I was so excited and young that I would say yes to sending a nude or doing stuff like that. Like, don't do anything that could be permanent.
Yeah.
Don't be very careful of things that he wants to do that he might not ask an older girl to do because she's smarter than you.
Yeah, older men, there's a power. First of all, men in general have a power complex, like, mm-hmm. where they feel they will at some point, you know, have to exercise or want to exercise their, you know, societal privilege over you, whether that's through the money they make or the job they have. There's always going to be something that your relationship partner may be more successful in than you. But when it's age, it can be very, very tricky, because at that point they're going to be like, oh, well, I do this all the time, and it's something you've never heard of.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're doing it too, and you just didn't have the foresight to learn about that from someone else.
Right.
So you got to be careful. It's not a no 100%, but it's just like a, let's think about this. But I wouldn't just say no to someone just because they're older than me. I would think about it a little bit further too.
Yeah, like, what, make a list. Like, what do you like about him? Is he really enhancing your life? Our rules for dating in your 20s still apply when it's an older guy.
Mm-hmm.
An older guy could be the perfect example of a guy who has a net positive value in your life. Mm-hmm. This could be a person who really helps you with your career, with your, you know, getting yourself sorted out, figuring out who you are, seeing the world. Like, these people are more established. They know what they're doing. But it doesn't change the fact that, like, maybe you have to evaluate every part of him, and don't do anything that could be permanent. That means, like, photos or, I don't know, just like, just be really fucking careful, yeah. Because think about it. When you are 24, try to picture yourself in those shoes. Are you going to want to date a 19-year-old? I know it's a little bit different, mm-hmm. guys to girls, like younger guys, older girls, a little less common. I used to picture myself like, I don't know, when I'm 28, am I going to feel okay if I going out on a date with a 19-year-old? Like, mm-hmm. probably not. What would we talk about?
Or also think about it like 5 years from now. So, for right. example, you're going to be 24 when he's what? 29 mm-hmm. and like those are pretty different stages. That could be a different stage of life.
Yeah, like I don't if feel he's, like that's that
it's not super weird, but I mean like in the next 5 years of his life, his decisions that he has to make, etc., are going to be different from the ones you are, which is graduating, choosing a major, like finding a job, moving around. Like he's gone through all that already. So there's different life stages. So what he could end up doing is making little comments like "you're so young" or that type of thing. Mm. You should look out for that because yeah. that can be a sign that your age is going to be something he's actually looking for so that he can take advantage of it.
Try to figure out why he's with you. Mm-hmm. Like try to pick up on like, is he listening to you when you talk? Like, is he really, does he have an interest in meeting your friends, going and doing things that you want to do? Does he like the way that you are and how you dress and how you look and how you like, but maybe the pattern is very important to consider. Maybe he just likes the idea of someone younger, even if he doesn't have a pattern. This could be like a fun, exciting adventure for him, the way yeah. that dating an older guy is for us, you. Except we're not taking advantage of them.
Exactly.
We're letting them take advantage of us. I can't help but like, as much as I love some of the guys that I've seen that are older than me, sometimes I really trust them, but I really do freak myself by being like, when I'm 33, how will I feel about 19-year-old girls?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really don't know how I'll feel in 10 years about these relationships that I've had.
Yeah.
So I'm very lucky. I don't think I've ever really been taken advantage of or hurt by these men. Like, I haven't done anything I really regret, but like, I've met girls smart. Who have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's easy to feel like it's a cool thing, but at the same time, you know, you just have to be what you are, which is a very smart girl figuring it out.
Yep. Just think it through.
All right. One more voicemail, much lighter than that.
You know who gives me the ick? Oh, well, let me start off first. My name's Kate. My pronouns are she, her.
Okay.
And this is what gives me the ick. Those people that don't commit to wearing socks, like they do the halvesies where it's like hanging off their ankle because they're a little bit cold, a little bit hot. Disgusting. Do not do that in my presence. Commit to the sock. I can't be the only one. Please affirm me.
Okay. We have a lot to discuss on the sock front. Many sock issues. I love could how be she arisen.
Goes, you know what pisses me she off? Said, oh, by the way, my pronouns are she, her.
So Kate, funny. We love your vibe.
Oh my God, that's great. Yeah, no, you're completely right.
You're completely right. That's fucking nasty.
Ew.
Ew. But you know what really pissed me off while I was on vacation this week with Jeff? He wears Birkenstocks a lot. Like, he's a Birks dude, you know, whatever. However, he always wears socks with them. Like, even when we're headed to the beach, he'll put the socks on. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, take the sock. Like, I yelled at him outside of our hotel room. I was like, why are you wearing socks? Like, you're just going to take them off when we get to the beach.
Like, he is such a lucky man.
I just can't. I just don't understand why. Like, but anyway, those are my thoughts on socks. You should not be always wearing them with Birkenstocks. You should wear them with like Nike sandals. You should not wear them with flip-flops. There's a lot of points. There's so much I could say on this. You should not wear them to bed unless you're getting in bed with them and taking them off. You should not wear them during sex.
Oh. You know what really sex? Helps me orgasm? Wearing socks.
Okay, I'll try it if it's for the orgasm.
I don't like to see a guy in socks. Oh my God, one time I was hooking up with this guy and he had on those weird little toe socks that only cover your toes and your ball of your foot. Ew. And he kept them on the whole time.
No. So oh, they're like curling?
My God. He was wearing little ballerina socks.
Stop.
I made a TikTok loafers? About it. No, it's just like what he likes to wear.
No.
It was so weird.
I hate that.
I just don't like any kind of weird, like don't, especially like if you're in public, don't play with your, don't be taking your sandals off and like playing with them, putting your heel on top of your Vans and like crunching them down. It's just weird. Just keep your shoes on.
Keep your shoes on always.
But you know what kind of turns me on too? Men's feet.
No.
I'm not grossed out by men's feet. I don't love feet in general. Not, I don't have a kink.
Yeah, I don't have a kink.
But I just think it's like hot when they have like big feet. So I don't mind a good what they do thing with their feet.
I don't feel particularly turned on by men's feet, but I do pay attention if their toenails are grimy.
Mm.
That's fucking nasty. Like, I had a, I knew this guy in college who, like, never clipped his toenails, and they started, like, ripping through his, like, Vans.
Ew. What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, you have to take care of your hygiene. I wish more men would go get a pedicure.
Monthly, they're only $30.
It's really not hard. Mm-hmm. But disgusting. I do when they're well-kept and nice. Like, I love, like, a guy with a big, manly feet. Like, I'm just like, cute. Right. I like your feet.
Okay.
I don't want to touch them or anything.
Well, yeah, I don't either. But I do also, like, think about this where I don't like how many people feel like it's okay to walk around without their shoes on. At Equinox, for example, which I think a lot of people.
Are you going to Equinox?
I do. We have a little corporate discount. Yeah. So, you know, anyway, I do.
Like your little Eucalyptus towels.
Oh, I do enjoy it. However, too many people there don't use shower shoes. I'm sorry. This is a public place. Doesn't matter if you're paying $200 a month for it. We're not all that clean. Like, wash your fucking feet.
People haven't been to summer camp? That's like the first rule of summer camp.
After we just found... We have to do a vibe check on summer camp at some point.
Yes.
But we just heard about all those celebrities who are like, yeah, I don't wash my legs. Yeah, I don't wash my feet. If that's a general rule of white culture, I am not stepping foot into Equinox without a Havaianas with me in my bag. Absolutely fucking not. It's a disaster. Scares me to death.
I keep those Havaianas on me.
On me at all times. It's nasty to think about, like... walking around barefoot in even a nice luxury location, but let alone like outside, let alone at the bar. Like, it stresses me out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
So Kate, thanks for that. That's it for voicemails. Great week for voicemails. You guys are really killing it. Keep sending them in, whether for advice, respond to something we said, give us a vibe check or roast it. Like, don't forget, call in 212-287-5244.
So we're going to do a little game of roast it or toast it. If you forgot the rules, you're an idiot. Let me tell you, it's really not hard. If we don't like something, we're going to roast it. Okay. We're going to roast it. We don't like it. We're going to toast it if we like it. Clink, clink, toast. Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Champagne. We love it. Okay?
Oh, we can actually toast today because we have drinks.
Yes. We have a little drink.
We have little drinks.
So roast it or toast it. This one is a little targeted.
It seems like it.
Having your guy take pictures of you on vacation.
Toast it, girl, because how else are you going to get the thirst trap?
What else is he there for?
What else is he, like, why did you even go on vacation if you're not going to get a thirst trap out of it?
Why'd you bring him?
Exactly. Like, what the hell? So I absolutely would say toast it. It's a science, though. So, for example, on our vacation, I didn't want to make him take pictures of me every single day, but I also needed to be tan enough to get all my pictures, you know, at the right, you know, element. So we set aside like one afternoon, as in I told him one afternoon we're going to take all the pictures, and I put on all five of my outfits that I wanted to get pictures in at the optimal time for sun exposure. And I was already tan, so like that was done. But also,
you are a machine.
I am. I'm a logistics like master over here. So then we took all the pictures in that afternoon, and then I didn't have to bother him the rest of the time. He was fine with his life. And let it be said that he got some pics too. I mean, he was modeling, he was in the pool, he was giving me, you know, a little, you know, Italian vibe. People at this resort, by the way, like, thought we were all both Dominican as well. We're not. Didn't speak Spanish, disappointed many Dominicans. Apologies, see y'all. But no, he got his little pics in too. So just like, don't make it your whole vacation.
Yeah. Great.
Love it.
I can't speak on this one. I don't know. I've never brought a guy on vacation. I mean, I'll make my friends take photos sometimes. I don't know. Sometimes my dad takes photos of me. Obviously not laying in the infinity pool in my one piece like you were, which you looked great. But my dad can't take a photo for shit. And he thinks he can't. Ugh, that's a great thing to talk about, is dads.
That
period.
They can take a picture.
Dads who think they can take a fucking photo. And then they're doing this whole zoom in thing. My dad loves
portrait
to do.
Mode.
He doesn't do portrait mode. You know what he does? He loves to tilt.
Like this?
He loves like an artistic angle. And he'll tilt the photo. He took my prom photos once. Like, I was on my way to prom and I missed the pre-prom. Speaking of age gaps, I was a freshman and I went to prom with some senior.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It was like the coolest thing of my life. But he was so weird. Like, consider why he's asking you.
Yes, I would love to know.
So my dad, I didn't go to the pre-prom because all the girls would have hated me. So my dad drove me directly to the prom. And he wanted to take a picture of me outside. Oh my God, these pictures were so bad. My poor dad.
I need to see
them.
And
he thinks he's a visuals guy. He works in this industry of visuals and he doesn't know how to take a damn photo.
He thinks it's the best, I bet.
Oh my God, and my mom can't either.
Really?
One time I met JaVale McGee once.
I don't know who that is.
Basketball player. This was when he was on the Denver Nuggets. This is like the most basketball knowledge I've ever had in my life. Those three sentences that I just uttered.
I didn't know that team existed.
But I got the opportunity to meet JaVale McGee. Couldn't find my phone. She pulls out the iPad, right? And I'm like sitting there waiting. I'm so excited. I'm like, oh my God, all the boys from school are going to slide into my DMs and think I'm so cool because I met JaVale. This guy's like 8 feet tall, towering over me. And we're just sitting there smiling, waiting. And my mom can't figure it out. Finally, she says she took the photo. We go back home. Nada. No photos on the iPad. I'm so mad at her about it. I like can't believe that I have no proof that JaVale McGee was in my house except for a couple of t-shirts that he left and some weird things.
Goodness.
Anyway.
Well, you know.
I need to give context on that at some point. JaVale McGee wasn't shirtless in my house. It was a whole thing.
We got to talk about it at some point. We're running low on time today.
All right.
Okay. The verdict is.
Clink, clink. Clink.
Toast it.
Toast it.
Hope you could hear that.
Go get your photos, girl.
Next is, how do I say it? Like, he told me that one.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to do that.
All right.
I don't want to sing. Fine. I don't want to sing.
Okay. I will, bitch.
Great.
The next one is, there's a trending trend on TikTok. You know, the music trends, like people use voices and sounds. The big one this week is from Encanto. Is that the movie? I haven't seen it. I don't like animated shit. All you adults freaking out over this like Encanto movie. It's a kid's movie. It's weird.
What is that movie?
Okay. All my friends are like, we love that song from Encanto. Why the fuck did you see that movie? Anyway, the song goes like, he told me that the man of my dreams. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
And the girl's like walking in a funny way.
They're walking like they're walking down the aisle.
Yes, they're walking down the aisle. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so you would use it in context. What would it be? A guy is... I don't know, just
isn't
so...
Isn't it like there's something happening and then when you walk in, it's like a wrench in your plans or something?
No, I think you walk in and you're still getting married. You're walking down the aisle. I don't know. Look, it's a trend. How do you guys feel about the music behind this trend? How do you guys feel about this sound?
Negative? But I don't get it.
Can we just stop using these weird sounds? Sorry, like you're an adult.
Let's also just like, I didn't realize it was from Disney. I thought it was like some old rocker band. Like
no, it's from Disney Pixar or something.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
I just feel like anything where you're walking like that, like every time I see them, I get secondhand embarrassment, 100%. Because if you have to put that much effort into like a TikTok, like where you're doing the angles, you got to, you know, move things around, the tripod. At that point, like, it's very difficult.
What's funny to imagine, and I get it, it's funny to imagine, like, me talking and making these videos and doing outtakes and, like, having to reshoot whatever I talked about. But imagine, like, people sitting in their room and, like, doing this dance over and over again until they get it right. Every time I see a trend video with a sound, laughing. I'm like, imagine them trying to lip sync it perfectly for, like, an hour.
And it's like because for me, I get embarrassed with myself if I'm on my third try and I can't remember like a little lip syncing thing, but I don't really post too many trends. But what gives me the ick, in the words of Kate, I hate when there's men doing those trends. I find it so cringe.
Like I hate when men have a TikTok.
Men don't need TikTok. It's so embarrassing. Like, and then, you know, there's like how those little TikTokers, like the 20-year-olds or whatever that do the thirst traps where they're like, biting their lips and shit like that. Like those little boys, like I want to vomit every time I see that. Like they need to be removed from the internet permanently.
No, I can't watch men do TikToks unironically unless they're like really funny, like comedian type tip. Like
who's
TikToks.
Your favorite male TikToker?
I don't have I don't like them.
Okay. I like the gays.
Oh my God. I have a great idea. His name's Wayold Gay. All right.
You love him.
I love him. I can't believe I didn't think of him immediately. I talk about him all the time. I've showed all my friends his videos. He doesn't follow me back. It's fine. I don't even care. I'm a fan. I love him. He does this great video where he takes his family around. It's so accurate. To do when your family visits New York. And he like takes them on a tour of New York. And he's like, that's this bridge, this Brooklyn Bridge. It's just some old bridge. Here's what happens when we go to Times Square. I told you, we're not coming back here. We don't have to go over there. It'll take forever. Like, it's so fucking good. Funny. Oh my God, he's so great. You go, I love him.
So cute.
I'm gonna send this to him. I don't know why he doesn't call me back.
It's so humiliating. I hope he follows you after he hears this.
Yeah, I'm gonna
send which him. Who knows if he even
wants. I love you, way old guy.
Okay, fabulous. So what's our verdict? Our verdict is roasted.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, just roasting adults doing Disney soundtrack trends. All right, third.
The third one is the Euphoria fandom / Euphoria discourse that is consistently taking place 24/7.
Discourse is a good word for it. I haven't been able to check Twitter all day because I didn't get a chance to watch the episode yesterday and I don't want to spoil it. So I literally can't go on social media.
I went on Twitter today. Don't watch Euphoria. Never have. I went through Twitter. There was nothing but Euphoria discourse. And finally, there was a tweet that I could relate to after multiple scrolls. And it was like, it's so crazy to see when people are tweeting after / during Euphoria, because they'll be like, this crazy guy did this crazy thing. And then like, now they're in jail and you're like, what the fuck is going on? And it has 2 million retweets. And it's like, what the fuck is happening here?
Right.
Like, the discourse is constantly happening. And I mean, good for y'all.
I like it. I like the idea that we're all together watching this show and people are tweeting about it. I'm not against discourse on the internet about a show. I think that's what the internet is for. It's a very communal. It's kind of like a beautiful part of social media that doesn't happen often.
It's the good part.
No, it's great. It's the good part. I just wish that, you know, that means that I have to keep up with it. I can't tell people to not post. I can't. Exactly. I can't stay off my phone all day. But here's the issue, and there always is one. People who are this obsessed with Euphoria, they talk about it as though it's like this incredible, huge masterpiece that we've never seen anything like it before. I just want to say, like, have you never seen The Sopranos? Have you never seen
Mad Men?
Mad Men or like any other show? It's not a well-written show. And I think that Euphoria, the acting, these kids, they're not kids, what, they're in their 20s. They are so fucking good. They are so brilliant. I think all of them that had a speaking role on this season could be nominated for an Emmy and it would be completely valid. Mm-hmm. Like, I really think every single one of them is so good. They don't have good material to work with though. Mm-hmm. They're doing the best with what they got. And I think the character development kind of sucks. I think that the pacing of the show sucks. I think that there's so many episodes where too much is happening and it's all just a bunch of bad shit happening that's really heavy and scary. And that doesn't make a good show just because there's a lot of intense adult things happening. And then there's other episodes where nothing happens. It's trauma dumping.
It's trauma dumping.
It's just not paced well. It's not well written. The dialogue feels very realistic, but I think that's the actors who make it that way. Mm. They make it entertaining because they are so, A, beautiful to look at. Stunning. The whole physical aspect of the show, the makeup, the costumes. Like, I think this is a beautifully shot show. The soundtrack, everything about it, except for the Sam Levinson character, who's like 40 years old and having Sydney Sweeney parade around with her tits out every single God, episode. Literally. I just like, there's one guy who writes the show. There's no writer's room.
What?
And it's very apparent.
Old white guy?
And he's some old white guy writing about these high schoolers fucking and being naked.
It's off.
That's weird. I'm sorry. It's weird. Yeah. They are all so great, but it's weird that there's one guy who directs all of them.
Ooh,
it's one
like 17.
Guy. They're Ooh. All in high school. The actors
and
aren't
sexualizing the kids. And
yeah,
that's,
it's just like, I get it. Not every show has to be so correct. Mm, whatever. Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily glamorizing drugs and sex because
I think it just shows how fucking crazy it is.
It's just a lot of bad shit happening. And if you want to see a lot of heavy, dramatic shit happening, but in a beautifully paced way with great dialogue and ways that like loose ends are tied up. Mm-hmm. In Euphoria, no fucking loose ends are tied up until like they have one episode that solves everything really fucking quick. Like, I didn't think that the reveal, spoiler alert, but you should know by now, the entire internet knows. Rue reveals that Zendaya's character.
Yeah.
She reveals that Alexa Demi's character,
Maddie,
her ex-boyfriend,
yeah,
is fucking Cassie, Sydney Sweeney's character.
She's so
this was half the fucking season was about how are they going to find out? Does Maddie know? Is it a whole thing? Like, it's a big spider web of drama. And it all comes out in like one split second. And there was no, I felt that there was no lead up.
and everyone was freaking out about this reveal. I was like, that was like a little anticlimactic. Trend.
Like the girls were talking about it all week.
Yeah. There was such a better way they could have written that. I don't think this guy is a great writer. Like I really don't.
You know what a good show is? And I saw you posted about it because I'm fucking obsessed with it. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is back. I was rewatching that the last, like ever since I got COVID in December, I rewatched the whole thing in anticipation of season 4, which premiered this week. Just exceptional.
Exceptional. Beautiful show. It's beautiful. Gorgeous to look at. Did you know that they hired dancers for background actors because they like the way they move?
And they have those one, they have these scenes basically. You watch this from the, if you watch this from the beginning, you'll see them where they're called oneers, where it's just one camera the whole time.
Yes.
And it's like people have to block. And as someone who's been on two very, you know, small commercial shoots in my day, blocking, like the blocking that they have to do for those is fucking crazy. So in the show where they get to the Catskills, they have a 2 minute oneer where they're getting out, they're rearranging the furniture, they're doing all this shit. So for 2 minutes, it was one camera. Everyone had to move to be in the frame. And it's like stunning camera work, yeah. Costumes, incredible sets, amazing plot, hilarious. Like,
well, I think Euphoria does have those things.
Good.
But the dialogue and the way the story structure sucks. Okay. But Maisel, this is the issue. The actors bother me.
Which ones?
Mrs. Maisel. Yeah. That's kind of the only one that bothers me.
I think she could be better.
Oh my God. I love Abe.
Abe is the
guy
best.
Guy from Monk. I love him.
Abe is the best.
I love Susie. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Maisel. Just the way that she talks, I'm like, shut up. Like, she's like, I'm a woman, so fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, you're okay. Like, whoever's, I guess this was comedy when it's so revolutionary that a woman is doing it in like the 60s.
I think they're leaning into that a lot this season, and I'm not really.
Her comedy is not funny.
No, it hasn't been that funny these last 2 weeks.
But also, she's not Jewish.
She's not Jewish?
Her actress is not Jewish.
Oh. I can't even, because her body is perfect.
She's beautiful, but. Sometimes, honestly, I don't know if I'm right to be offended by that. I'm not offended. Sometimes it bugs me a tiny bit how it's so heavily Jewish. Like, they make so many jokes about the fact that she's Jewish and, like, Jewish culture and the eating and the whatever, the Yiddish words. Like, it's so, they really make fun of Jews in a cute way that Jews love. But then you remember this girl that they chose for this role. I wish they'd chosen a Jewish girl. Like, yeah. I really do. I'm sorry. I think she's great, but, like, I don't know. No, I really wish they'd chosen a Jewish girl.
I would feel that way.
Sometimes it's weird when she's like making jokes about being Jewish. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait, this girl is not Jewish.
Because being Jewish is very specific.
Yes.
Very specific.
And it's just like when it's, these are jokes that if made by a non, like the emphasis on the eating and the sloppiness of Jewish eating, whatever. That's like a Jewish joke. And when you're not Jewish and you make that joke, it's anti-Semitic.
In the last episode where that guy was making all those anti-Semitic jokes while they were at the bar.
Right.
And she's not Jewish.
It's just kind of weird.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I just wish they'd hired a Jewish girl, but she's great. It's just, I don't know. Her voice bugs me and I hate that she's not Jewish.
I love the show. Huge fan.
Anyway.
Okay. Well,
can we, I have a little idea. I'd love to sign off this episode with a screenshot.
Oh,
I want to read some reviews that we got on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, as would I. I haven't checked them in like 2 weeks.
All right.
What's going on?
This is a reminder to rate and review our podcast. If you like it, go and drown these fuckers out. Okay. I want you to go and give us 5 stars and talk about what you liked and whatever. If you don't like something, give it 5 stars and tell us what you didn't like. But okay. This is so funny.
Oh my God. I'm going right now.
2 stars. It was really nice that they gave us 2.
You guys are being really fucking rude.
They gave us 2. I don't know why. They hate us, but quote, they aren't clever. They aren't funny. And worse, they try way too hard. The concept is great, and I imagine their target audience is teens to very early 20s. That's true. The effect they're putting on seems desperate and unnatural, like they're going for a Jackie Schimmel, Whitney Cummings vibe, but it's coming off like a generic Whitney Cummings, and she's already insufferable. We never said we weren't insufferable. Anyway, I'll listen to a couple more, but I foresee myself giving up in an episode or two.
Who is Whitney Cummings?
Why are you still listening? And why did you give us 2 stars? Like,
what?
Thank you for listening.
We also literally said that was our target audience.
He's listened to, this sounds like a he, but whatever. Listened to 2 episodes already. Gonna listen to 2 more. Gave us 2 stars, but hates us.
You could have waited to give us that. Okay, then we have one. What's the next one? Okay, 13 minutes before I turned it off. I thought this was going to be funny gossip, but it quickly became political. There's enough negativity in the world on the daily. I don't need to add a mean-spirited podcast to my routine.
Wait, did we say something political?
Is your issue that it's mean-spirited? Is your issue that's political? There's no...
The whole thing is that it's mean-spirited. That's why you would listen to
exactly, it. Exactly, but if it's political, but saying fuck Joe Rogan, yeah. I mean, fuck Joe
Rogan.
Is that
the only political thing we've said?
I mean, I've mentioned that I was black a few times, if that's political, but I don't know if it is.
Like what?
You know.
The other day I said something about like, oh, I hate anti-vaxxers. I wish people got the vaccine. Somebody was like, I liked you until you started getting political. That's not political, you weirdo. Like,
what the fuck? Anyway. It's called public health, bitch.
Yeah.
Next, another media outlet with an exaggerated liberal POV. Right off the bat, hate on Joe Rogan. If you share this opinion, you'll find this to be an entertaining podcast. Otherwise, it's a tired narrative by today's standard. If you're looking for funny female bent, oh, they're recommending a different podcast, and I'm not going to do that for you.
If you have the same opinion, you'll find this to be an entertaining podcast. Exactly. So thanks for listening. This one,
I just love the title of it, Insipid Torture.
They titled it Insipid Torture. This is the conversation you hear. We're ending on this one. This is the conversation you hear between two seventh grade girls sitting outside the principal's office after being caught scratching their names on their desks. Mommy's on her way to tell the principal he's going to be in big trouble. This sounds a little
what?
Sexual
are
fantasy.
You, what the fuck are you
Mommy's on
about?
The way to tell the principal that he's in or he's going to be in big trouble.
He who insipid.
Wait, are we talking
torture.
About... the principal getting like spanked by the mommy or
what's
something?
What's happening here,
Mommy's
Molly?
Mommy's on her way to tell that principal he's gonna be in big trouble.
Honestly, this is that was a humiliating thing to write.
We are the two seventh grade girls sitting outside the principal's office and we were scratching our names on our desk and mommy is gonna come and get you.
Yeah,
dirty
and,
principal.
And what are you gonna do about it?
Nothing.
You're
bye.
Gonna, what are you gonna do about it? Thanks for that. Thank you all for the engagement. Haters can always hate. But I'm always making money off of it.
Mm-hmm. On that note,
see you next week.
Bad Vibes is a Betches Media production. The podcast is produced and edited by Sean Kilby. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to leave us a voicemail at 212-287-5244 or send your emails to badvibes@betches.com.
Betches.